Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Dr. Robert Peskin, Dr. Raymond Ellis, and Andrea and Ron DeFeo. Salt Lake City is building a new airport on top of the existing airport. More than an expansion program, this is a construction of a new airport focused on landside infrastructure replacement while the existing airport continues to function. To help us understand this complex project, our guest is Bill Wyatt, who's the executive director of the Salt Lake City International Airport. So, Bill, I'm glad to talk to you today. It's called a new airport. What's really new?
You know, it's a very unusual project, as you described, because we are essentially going to take down all of the existing landside structures and all of the existing passenger terminal and concourse facilities during the course of this project and replace it with a brand new airport. And so everything which a passenger would experience, from rental cars to parking to ticketing and baggage, the drop-off facilities will have an elevated roadway for the first time, the terminal building, checkpoint, concourses, all brand new.
While you're doing this, you're still running an airport.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. The reason we're doing all of this is that the existing facilities were, you know, in their day, built to accommodate around 10 million annual passengers. Last year, we had over 26 million. So they're really stressed. Nobody along the way anticipated the development of the coronavirus, which has had a obvious short-term impact on the facility, but really it has not changed our resolve. We're very close to opening the first phase of the project.
So I want to talk about the coronavirus, but before we get there, so are you opening components of the new terminal kind of piece by piece and closing the old, or is it a grand opening of everything?
Well, we describe the opening as in two phases. In the first phase, we'll open on September 15th, 2020. And the first phase will include the new roadway. It will include all of the rental car facilities, a new central utility plant, parking garage, the terminal facilities for check-in, bag drop-off, one half of each of the two new concourses. All of that opens on September 15th, and I don't anticipate anything gets in the way. Almost all of that has been greenfield development. So even though it is, you know, it's got all the complexities of any large construction project, not all that challenging, pretty straight ahead. The second phase was originally going to be the far more complicated piece, because that's where you really start building on top of the existing airport, having to take pieces down while still functioning. And of course, originally, the idea was to maintain maximum gate count during the second phase, because otherwise the airlines would have to reduce their capacity here. Well, to be honest, with the coronavirus having affected passenger volumes so significantly, we've rephased the project. So we'll still open phase one on September 15th. But what we'll also do is tear down all of the existing airport at once. We'll develop a hard stand operation for carriers who feel that they have more demand than they have gates to accommodate. And we will build the second phase and conclude it 2 years earlier than we had anticipated.
So here's a case where coronavirus actually did something good for us.
It's a silver lining. And, you know, the other thing is we may save up to $300 million because the phasing in the second project was just so very complicated. And now we can get along without having to do any of that.
Seems like you've been very quick to develop the new plan.
You know, as soon as, so on a typical day, we would have somewhere between 25 and 30,000 people at the front door of the airport. So people who'd come, you know, they'd be dropped off by Uber and Lyft or a family member or a runner, they'd have a rental car or park or whatever, and then go through the front of the terminal building. Then we'd have another 35 to 40,000 connecting passengers. So big. Today, we've got, and this is an improvement, we've got 5,000 people at the front door. In March, that was 1,500. So we went from 25,000 to 1,500 people. And we kind of looked at each other and said, you know, there's got to be a pony in there somewhere, and began looking at the second phase. First, we had to assure ourselves that we could complete phase one and open on September 15th, and we'll talk about that. But I'm very confident that'll happen. We've been fortunate, and we've been aggressive in our messaging with the workforce, and they've done a really good job of taking care of themselves and others. But then we started thinking about what can we do if we don't need to have 79 gates throughout the construction, what can we do? And we came up with this plan, and the carriers are nervous because they think that things are going to come back more quickly than I think I do, but they recognize the value in expediting the schedule and potentially reducing costs. $300 million is $30 million a year in interest payments, right? So that's nothing to sneeze at.
That's a huge savings. And your contractors and designers were cooperative in making this big change?
Yeah, they're excited about it, actually, because it was always going to be very, very complicated for the second phase, and this eliminates a large part of that. You know, from the passenger perspective, it doesn't really make that much difference because they don't see what's behind the curtain. But for the contractors and the architects and the management team, it's a whole different proposition. And so this makes life a lot simpler.
And you use the phrase hard stand. My understanding is then people would get off the airplanes the old-fashioned way and somehow make their way into the terminal?
Yes, it's going to be limited to probably to regional jets. So Embraer 175s typically is what we see here. And yeah, you climb down the stairs and then there will be a busing operation that will take you to a place in the new terminal where you will deplane, deboard, and or board and end plane on both sides.
So I think Americans are not used to that, but it's the old way and it's a European way. You see that in a lot of European airports.
You see it in Asia typically too. I mean, in China, where I've been extensively in my career, you know, the airports, particularly in the sort of 2004 to 12 period, were growing so fast, they simply couldn't add gates fast enough. And so they would do the hard stand. And this is limited to a period of about 2 years, and then we'll be all contact gates.
Yeah, so it's a reasonable sacrifice for $300 million.
It is, and more to the point, advancing the schedule by 2 years really makes a huge difference because one of the unseen values of the new design, the old design looks like the fingers on your hand.
Yeah.
You hold it up, and it was never really designed as a hub. The new airport has two parallel concourses with contact jet bridges, and then they're connected by an underground tunnel. And that means that planes can get in and get out completely unimpeded. Today, in the old part of the airport, when a jet pulls up between two concourses, if there is any airplane movement in the throat there, they have to wait. There will be no waiting in the new airport. So access to taxiways and runways is going to be dramatically faster. And that has consequences both for the cost of operations for the carriers, for emissions here in Salt Lake, which is an issue. So we will gain the benefits of all of that 2 years in advance.
Is it reasonable to say that this is a design that sort of looks like O'Hare Airport Terminal 1, the United Terminal?
I would say more like Atlanta.
Ah, okay.
So we can add capacity, new concourses out into the future without really affecting the passenger experience or without having a significant impact on airfield operations, which is really a tremendous advantage for us.
So, and the underground connection, is there a movable walkway there?
Yes. Yeah. And it's a long one. It's a quarter mile between the two concourses, but we do have moving walkways both on the concourses and on the underground tunnel.
And are you adding a lot of retail space?
We are. And, you know, that's another interesting subject in the age of coronavirus because, and one of the adjustments we've had to make. Originally, we were going to keep two of the old concourses open and connect it with a temporary covered walkway, and they have concessions on them. Well, we've done one round of concessions procurement for the new airport, and then we were going to keep concessions in the old concourses. Well, now those are going to go away. We will buy them out, and a couple of them are actually just moving to the new facilities, but we're not able to open all of the concessions that we'd wanted to because, frankly, the passenger volume just isn't there to justify that level of commitment. And so we'll be opening about half of the new concessions, but that will still provide for a really terrific experience for passengers. And today, in the old facility, before the volumes, the passenger volumes really hit the tank, you'd have an experience where you were a connecting passenger, and if you hit one of the Delta banks, one of the connecting banks, you might not be able to find enough room to sit down and have a lunch. And that is not going to be the case in the new facility.
So is the coronavirus affecting I see the answer to this. It affects the revenue from retail. Long term, that revenue should go up, I would think, because you're going to have more retail.
Yeah. I mean, when we get back to something approaching the passenger volumes that we had 3 months ago, we'll see a huge spike in concessions revenue, both from rental cars, but also food, beverage, and retail.
How important is that retail revenue to overall airport finance?
We call them non-aeronautical revenues, represent about 40% of our total. So they're very important. And rental cars in Salt Lake are huge in the winter for skiing, in the summer for national parks. So they're very, very important to us.
You also, I believe, have a direct connection to the Trax light rail system, don't you?
Yes, indeed. And that'll continue. It'll take a few months after we open to bring the tracks around because we'll be crossing the old roadway into the old terminal facilities. And once that's closed, we'll be able to bring tracks directly up to the terminal building.
So up to, but won't go in to the terminal building?
It doesn't go in, but it's a real short little hop. Created a very special space. If you've been to Portland, where I was the director for many years, very similar. You're dropped off at the base of an escalator, and up you go into the terminal building. And
very, very easy connection, yes.
Very, very easy, yeah.
So you've gotten a real benefit from the coronavirus. You're saving money in the long term, and the shortfall in the short term. Is that any kind of a problem for you in terms of the building the new airport?
When I've had people describe that way before, and when they say benefit, I cringe a little because it's had such a catastrophic impact on everything else. I guess I would say we've just taken advantage of the opportunities presented. We did and were concerned, certainly as this was first developing, about whether we would be allowed to continue with the construction. There have been states, New York, Washington State, who in their lockdowns stopped all construction activity. And That did not happen in Utah. And our joint venture contractors, Holder out of Atlanta, Big D out of Salt Lake, really put together an outstanding program. And on the North Concourse, Austin out of Texas, and Oakland Brothers out of Salt Lake really did an aggressive communication and outreach job to all the trades and to the workforce at large. We have today probably 1,800 workers on site. We've had exactly one infection during the entire time. That was on the North Concourse. The JV closed the project, did a real deep cleaning, sent workers who were in close proximity to the infected worker home to isolate. And I'm pleased to say both the worker who has recovered is back at work. And we've had some isolations, but we've had no other infections. And I can say that it had no impact on the schedule of the project, which is pretty remarkable when you think about just the nature of this type of construction activity. People are sharing tools. They're sometimes working in close proximity, but every day everybody wears a mask. It's required on site. Temperatures are taking, and it's interesting. The WHO yesterday indicated that asymptomatic spread appears to be fairly rare, which means that temperature taking is even more important than I think many had imagined. And we're doing that. And we've added significant sanitation stations and just messaging all over the project about being careful and practicing good social distancing and hygiene and so forth. So I'm out there three times a week wearing a mask, sometimes a filter, always got the PPE on, but get my temperature taken. Just a really outstanding effort.
Yeah. Oh, so you're taking all the precautions. I'm just looking at recent news reports about slowing or shutting down construction activities in San Francisco International and Orlando and in other airports, but you've found a way to move ahead. Yeah, I suppose it's unreasonable to call it a benefit, but you've been opportunistic in the right ways to get something good out of this. So it's a really impressive project. So I have to wait till September to experience the beginnings of the new terminals.
September 15th, and it's a flip the switch. September 14th, people will fly out of Salt Lake International, and if they come back the next day, they come into the new airport. So it'll be quite a process. We have quite a transition effort underway now to make sure that when we flip the light switch, things work.
It sounds very impressive, a very creative use of management to find a way through a difficult situation and get some benefit from it. Bill, thank you very much. I'm going to put it on my list to try to get out there and see that new airport before the end of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you for talking to us. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Infrastructure Show. If you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did, please subscribe to our podcast and encourage your friends to join us too. The Infrastructure Show is recorded at the Studio Media Recording Company in Evanston, Illinois, under the direction of Scott Steinman, recording engineer with a commitment to great sound. Our producer is Marion Sowers, a journalist with a passion for infrastructure. And I'm Professor Joseph Schoeffer. Few people are more curious about infrastructure than I am.